Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This is Hammond.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. If you like what you're listening to, go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast. We're working in the middle of random noises and people, so don't worry if you hear random stuff in the background.
Yeah, it was storming before. We've got a deeply pregnant woman in the kitchen. It's all just the dream.
It's how it works. Okay, there are a bunch of smaller stories. This is thankfully not as, like, insane of a week as previous ones have been, but
a lot of small stories as a result of this podcast
that are just really interesting. It doesn't mean they're not important though. So here is one from BYU Idaho, so Brigham Young University. We've mentioned this school before because their Idaho branch is almost more fundamentalist than even BYU itself
in some ways. Fired the professor?
They fired a professor not too long ago because she basically said gay people are all right.
Ugh.
And they didn't like that.
The horror.
I know. So a former student there, she posted on the ex-Mormon subreddit yesterday, basically saying, she has left the school. And so the school sent her an email saying, basically, hey, we want to know what's going on. Can you take a quick survey? I guess they just send this automatically to everyone. A quick survey
just
about why you left.
Okay.
Yep. And can you tell us whatever you can? Right. I don't know if it's anonymous. I assume it is. But tell us why you left.
I bet it's not.
She tried to take it, but she couldn't log in because I guess her school email or credentials have expired. So it was kind of useless. So she just wrote them back an email. And it's not funny at all. Here's the email that she sent them to BYU Idaho.
Yep.
Your survey didn't let me log in. I didn't return to BYU because I was raped by a student and the honor office and Dean Harris held me accountable and suspended me for it. Do not email me again. Thank you.
Oh my God. And, wow.
Yeah. And I obviously can't confirm any of that stuff, but I did speak to this person over email yesterday, and we're recording this on Thursday, whatever date it is.
The third, maybe?
I've lost track of time.
Yeah, it's the third.
She told me that she didn't want me to use her real name. That's fine, but I could talk about this. But the school's honor office, I mean, BYU has a rule that says you cannot have premarital sex. That is a violation of their school rules. It's a religious school. They're allowed to do that. Whatever. I guess she had consensual, or she had sex with some guy.
Uh-huh.
He says it was consensual. She claimed it went way further than that. She did not give consent. But because the police did not have enough evidence to say this was rape, but they couldn't prosecute this case in any way, the school therefore said, well, it's not rape, but you did have sex, so we got to punish you for that. And so she had to get out. She violated their rules. I don't know what happened to the guy. I'm really curious about that.
Hey, Hammond,
kicked him out. Yeah.
I bet I'm going to just swing in for the fences here. I'm going to say nothing.
I don't know. And then when she got home,
I don't know.
When she got home, she still had to go through a repentance process within the Mormon church at home, which meant talking to a bishop and apologizing for violating, you know, their rules. She has now since decided, I'm going to walk away from the Mormon church.
Oh, really? Why?
Yeah,
did she say?
I don't know.
So I have Mormons in general, the LDS, I think it's a really interesting topic in terms of, like, just when we discuss religions and, you know, Christianity is like this and Catholicism is like that, Mormons in so many ways are really, like, the people that come out of it tend to be really good people and really hard workers. And I've known a lot of Mormons, and it's...
They have a good reputation.
They do have a good reputation.
On the surface.
Yes. And it's... And I've had many conversations with people of, like, that their kind of thesis statement was, those Mormons are great. And, like, generally raised very moral and upstanding and good kids with, you know, sharp haircuts. But... And it's easy to forget that shit like this happens, and it's so puritanical, and it's so by the book
even if they did suspend the boy for doing this, for breaking the same rule, it still doesn't make any of this any better.
I mean, that's saying
the situation is still horrible.
That's saying that, like, possibly raping somebody is just as bad as definitely having sex.
Yeah. Right.
Like, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
Cool. Definitely morally the same Mormons. Good job.
So, all right.
Ugh,
let's
that
go.
Sucks. I hope.
It really does. I hope she's okay. I hope things
I wish the best
get
for
any
her.
Better for her. I don't know. That's not even the right thing to say, but.
Yeah, I mean, there's a really good Mexican restaurant in Idaho that I would recommend to this young lady. It's near Salmon.
Will that make her feel better?
It's called Broken Arrow. It's really good. I haven't been there in 10 years.
There you go.
I'm just trying to help.
Anything will help. Okay, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay.
They've had some issues lately with a lot of church-state separation issues, but this is one that it seems pretty straightforward. There shouldn't be controversy about this.
Okay.
The Knoxville Police Department has a sign in the building that is Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It's a famous Christian Bible verse.
Oh, so famous. I'm going to say it by heart. I'm going to sound like Hammond, but...
Here's what it says, okay. The part that you've heard of. If God is for us, then who can be against us, is the sentiment here. If God is for us, who can be against us? It's part of the Bible verse. They have that plaque engraved on a plaque hanging in the police department. And so... First of all, I mean, there's so many things wrong with saying, hey, we're a police department. We work on evidence. We have weapons here.
Yeah.
God will protect us. But by the way, we need bulletproof vests and guns and weapons.
And also, I feel like that's a super good example of, like, another of those nonsense phrases that, like, it sounds really meaningful, but, like, what is that? Doesn't mean anything.
I'm pretty sure the criminals have a God, too. I'm pretty sure other cities, police officers...
No, but, Hammond, no, it's the wrong God. You know this.
Clearly. So the East Tennessee chapter of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, someone told them about this, had a picture of it. They basically wrote a letter to the police department and mayor and all this saying, hey, that needs to come down.
Uh-huh.
We don't want to make a big deal out of this, but you should take that down. And... about a week ago, one of the people, like the city has a law director, he basically made this argument that to the press, to the media, look, we would love to fight this thing, but it's going to cost a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
It's a taxpayer issue.
Uh-huh.
So the atheists kind of are making us do this.
Yeah, we did a thing good, and that's the end of the story, right?
Let's blame the atheists, is basically what he said. Specifically, he said he agreed with the Knoxville mayor, Madeline Rogero, who said, let's not spend taxpayer money to fund a defense of this plaque.
Oh,
so we'll take it down. It's a reasonable conclusion, but their argument was, look, it's just going to waste money on our end. It's not that we're wrong. It's that atheists are suing us, and we don't want to fight this. It's a waste of time and resources. So I guess the atheists win. Don't blame us. Blame them.
And you know what? I'm fine with that.
But as long
we've
as
we've been taking so much blame for so much shit, I will personally take that on me that I fucked over Knoxville, Tennessee. Sorry, Knoxville. That's on me. That's my bad.
So that's what they did. They said, I think what they actually ended up doing is they said, fine, we'll remove the plaque from where it's at right now.
Uh-huh.
We'll move it actually to a different part of the building,
perfect.
Sounds not like a solution at
all.
Is
it the church part of the building?
Yeah. No, but they created what's called, I want to make sure I get this right. Yeah, they created a Hall of Inspiration where they have this Christian plaque and plaques that have a verse from the Quran and a Hindu famous line and some secular, like Mark Twain something positive.
That's fine.
There's really nothing legally wrong with that as far as I can tell.
I mean, it's dumb.
It's dumb.
I don't think that's legal, though.
If you're a cop and you need to read those quotations to make you feel better. Like, I don't know how much confidence.
That garbage.
But all right, it's not illegal, so fine. But here's the interesting thing.
Wait, really, Mark Twain? They went Mark Twain.
They had a couple
others.
What was
the Mark Twain quote?
I don't know. I didn't see what it was, only that they included his words in there.
Okay.
But what's interesting is after they announced this, quote, Hall of Inspiration, now they're finally saying, because the Christian Broadcasting Network, the Pat Robertson Network, mm-hmm. they do the 700 Club, they wanted to know, hey, if this is just a money situation for you and you don't want to waste taxpayer money. Wait, this is interesting. Good reporting, because this is a fair question. They wanted to know, they're like, I'm sure there are Christian legal groups like the Alliance Defending Freedom, American Center for Law and Justice.
Uh-huh.
They'll defend you for free.
Yeah.
I mean, if you lose, you will owe money to the atheists.
Sure.
But they will defend you for free. So uh-huh. why didn't you take them up on those offers? Did none of them approach you about this?
Okay.
Which is an interesting question because, yeah, those Christian groups always approach police departments. And now they're in a bind because they already said we're not doing this because of the cost.
Uh-huh.
Blame the atheists.
Sure.
And the Christian group is a Christian Broadcasting Network says they'll do it for free. So just take them up on it. So now what did they say? Knoxville Communications Director Jesse Mayshark said other officials determined that Freedom From Religion Foundation was correct.
Hey!
And the plaque had to go.
We did a thing.
I know. And the mayor adds, you know, as our founders recognized when they wrote the Constitution, the best protection for religious liberty is to restrict the government's role in promoting or endorsing any particular faith.
Yay,
yeah,
Knoxville.
She went on, it's good, it's worth repeating. We may not understand that a Bible verse that gives us strength and comfort may send an entirely different message to someone else, that you are not welcome here, that this government body does not represent you. It's what the atheists have been saying forever. It just took the Christian Broadcasting Network to ask them a tough question to get them to admit that, we were wrong about this. It wasn't about money at all.
I'm getting that statement tattooed across my back.
It's like, a long statement.
Well,
that's an expensive, painful tattoo.
And the mayor released that?
The mayor said that.
Oh, that's an...
Only after they were called out.
Listen. I'm fine with that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So they're finally doing the right
thing. See, that's what this should look like. Somebody, people sometimes are wrong and it's okay to acknowledge it.
Sometimes.
And I'm sorry, was the mayor a woman?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I just wanted to make sure we all noted that. hey, really quick sidebar.
Yes.
What does the 700 Club mean?
Do
you know?
We've gone through this, haven't we?
You and I?
We have. We have discussed this before,
really?
And at the time,
okay,
I kept forgetting.
Okay, then we don't have to talk it again. Because I have no idea. Is it 700 people? Maybe we have.
No, that's because we had this, because it was the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, yeah, the 144.
Okay. I'm Wikipedia-ing this thing right now.
Perfect.
In 1962, blah, 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 had a telethon. Pat Robertson set a goal of 700 members contributing $10 a month. It's basically Patreon, but several decades ago.
Oh.
So they called it 700 Club, because you'd be supporting what Pat Robertson does.
And it only took 700 people?
At the time, then he expanded it to everyone on Earth has to give him money to do whatever it is he does.
Well, I mean, his broadcasts are so high quality. I see why needs to keep up that technology. that's excellent. Also, yesterday, I was in the city for a minute, supposed to play kickball. The team didn't show up. I drove an hour and a half with my dog into the city. Anyway, my husband and I were driving back on southbound I-55 in Stevenson. Kay. There's a Creation Museum billboard up there.
Oh, I'm not
that?
Surprised. I didn't know that. I'm not surprised. They try to go everywhere within like a one-day driving distance. What is Creation Museum? It's like 6 hours from where we are right now outside of Chicago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if it's 6 hours away, they'll do a billboard.
And I like it. I mean, it's on I-55, which goes south eventually towards St. Louis, and I like the prospect of they're catching people like, well, I'm going south anyway,
might as well
just go with this momentum and go all the way to the Creation
they didn't think
museum.
This one through
anyway. I was just very surprised by that.
It's actually
and it
been
has,
a quiet Creation Museum week this week.
It does have a big like dinosaur on the it's
with a man riding it, I'm sure.
There's no man, there's no saddle. I'm always disappointed. But it was like a museum with a with a dinosaur silhouette on it. Anyway,
still frustrating. So the White House has a Bible study. Oh, yeah.
What?
Yep.
I'm sorry. Wait.
Attend weekly. It's a week. Guess who doesn't attend?
Is it Donald Trump?
Oh, yeah.
The White House has a Bible study.
But everyone else attends. Names include Tom Price, Health Secretary, Rick Perry, the Energy Secretary, Betsy DeVos, the Education, Sonny Perdue, Agriculture, Jeff Sessions, Mike Pompeo, CIA Director, Vice President Mike Pence.
Sonny.
Former Georgia governor, I think. Anyway, they have this every week. In theory, this shouldn't be an issue. Like, Congress has a Bible study. It as long as it happens when you're not on the clock.
I don't care. It's just
whatever.
Dumb.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. It's not illegal. Now, I did hear this is taking place during work hours, which would be a separate problem. But let me put that aside for a second. And yes, Trump doesn't usually come to this thing.
Shocker.
But what's really interesting here, and by the way, the reason it's not a big deal, like, you know, Obama's would go to church every Sunday or many Sundays. George W. Bush did something similar. That, again, you're allowed to practice your faith when you're in the executive branch.
Right.
But it's just more Christianity in this branch, which is interesting. Here's what's scary. The man who leads this Bible study, his name is Ralph Drollinger. He runs a group.
His name is God.
Yeah. He runs a group called Capital Ministries. They basically, it's a whole ministry dedicated to helping Congress members get their Bible
be
in.
Religious.
Yeah. So, like, they do the Bible studies in Congress. He does, he sends out, like, here's a profile of a wonderful, godly member of Congress, whatever. So he's the guy who's running these Bible studies. He's the one who talked to the reporters that, yeah, we have these Bible studies. Here's the problem with all this. This guy is so conservative in his Christianity. What has he said in the past? Catholicism is the world's largest false religion. Because it's not his brand of Christianity.
God, I'm looking for a problem with that. But
homosexuality is an abomination.
Oh, well, now here are things that I care about.
If a woman with children is serving in Congress, it is sinful.
Because
she should be home with the kids. Not the dads, by the way, with the kids. Just the women. Like, so this guy is very conservative.
He sounds chill and reasonable.
The funniest thing he said in our interview or conversation with, again, Christian Broadcasting Network, because they have access all over the place right now, is that Drollinger said he loves Trump. Trump is like the, quote, biblical strong man Samson, because he's strong and he's powerful.
And he's got that hair.
But like,
so we just have to shave his head and we can be rid of him?
The story of Samson, though, this is someone who, like, irrationally gets strength from his hair. Like, there's no reason he should be getting strength from his hair.
I thought his hair was magic.
But okay, it's magical somehow. He commits acts of genocide in the Bible, Samson does. He gives away his biggest secret because his wife is like, how do we destroy you? And finally, he's like, my hair, don't tell anyone. She tells people.
Delilah, right?
Delilah.
I mostly know from
that
song.
He's eventually defeated because of his pride. Like, comparing Trump to Samson is not a compliment.
It's completely accurate. What song is it? Someday we'll know.
New Radicals. Look at me.
Wow, you know a thing.
I know a thing.
Congratulations.
There is a YouTuber, Dark Matter 2525, who does animations. Had a three-part video series. Just, it's animating the story of Samson. And literally, the Bible verses pop up as they're going through the story.
That's pretty dope.
Like, he's not making this up.
No.
It's literally word for word. It's brilliant. I really like it.
I'm going to look it up.
Look it up. Okay. One more thing about Donald Trump and religion before we move on to something else. I'm just kidding. There's way more. There was this story that's still kind of in the news that is all about how Donald Trump's son met with a Russian lawyer when the campaign was going on
to get
dirt on Hillary Clinton. And, like, we don't know the extent, but, like, at first he said, no, I was just meeting with someone about adoptions because there's a thing between the U.S. and Russia about adopting kids.
Uh-huh.
I want to talk to her about that. That was it. And then reporters find out, no, the headline of the email was like, Hillary emails Russia, whatever. And, like, they keep getting more information. And then it wasn't just those two.
They're so bad at this. How can anybody be this bad at spying?
And then more stories said there are more people at the meeting. Like, Paul Manafort knew. There were other people in Trump team who knew. There were more Russians at the meeting. Like, that's the funny, scary part of the entire Russia story.
The last paragraph is like, gee, I sure hope, like, the FBI doesn't find these emails. LOL. Raffle.
Yeah, and they have, and they even said, like, we want to talk to you about Hillary's emails.
Oh,
and
my God.
Trump's son responds, like, that sounds awesome. Whatever he
Can't
said.
Can't wait.
Yeah. So,
let's do collusion, Russia.
The latest breaking story, it's Thursday, so this won't be breaking in, like, 10 seconds. But the Washington Post said this week that, oh, it turns out Donald Trump actually helped craft the statement that lied about how his son was meeting about adoption. So when they were like, oh, no, they already know the meeting happened. What should we say about it? Trump himself was like, tell them it was about adoptions. Like, he totally was in on this.
Cool.
So that's a story. That's what a lot of political people were reporting this week.
Uh-huh.
What's interesting to me and relevant to this podcast anyway is that Trump's lawyer, his personal lawyer who's been involved in this situation since, like, recently, whenever he hired this guy, Jay Sekulow. He's the guy from the American Center for...
His name is Sekulow? Yep. Sekulow. Like a secular superhero.
Sekulow works for the American Center for Law and Justice. He's become filthy rich off the backs of Christians who give his family money to run these groups. And now he's Trump's personal lawyer.
Uh-huh.
But again, the thing this guy has been known for is he's a conservative Christian. He fights those legal battles that church-state separation groups are always on the other side of.
Uh-huh.
And when he got hired, like, what's your first job as Trump's lawyer? It's to go on all those Sunday morning shows and defend Trump.
Right.
And they were all asking him about this meeting. And they're like, did Trump have anything to do with this? And what did Jay Sekulow, the very hardcore religious guy, say? The president was not involved in the drafting of the statement. That is what I can tell you. He said in another network, the president wasn't involved. He didn't sign off on anything. I mean, what are the options here? He lied.
Right.
He knew Trump was involved and he lied.
Right.
He didn't know Trump was involved. And yet he said that either out of ignorance or a lie. I mean, or he was just defending Trump on national television, which is incompetent of him.
Uh-huh.
Like, to not just say, I don't know, I'll find out, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. Like, his religious right lawyer is lying for him on television. That's what evangelical... I mean, I don't even think Sekulow... I don't know if he's evangelical. Maybe he is. I don't know if he's hardcore Catholic or if he's evangelical. But he is very religious. Uh-huh. He fights for evangelical conservative causes. But he lies. That is what he's now known for more than anything. Which is good. I'm glad people are finally figuring that out, but...
Oh, my God.
Yep.
So, at what point does somebody lying on Trump's behalf trickle back to him, or does it? Do you know?
I think that's what Robert Mueller and that whole investigation is trying to figure out. So, I don't know.
My God. It just... you keep thinking, well, this is... And that's why every time something comes up, like, oh, this is it, this is the nail in the coffin, and like nothing continues to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I get these things go slowly, but like I'm sort of at a point that I'm like, okay, like I got a push alert, the FBI is looking into whatever, like, okay, can you just tell me when you're gonna do something instead of like we're gonna which I get it, this shit moves slowly and you need to gather evidence, et cetera, but like I can't keep hearing this kind of garbage with no consequences and no follow through and nothing coming after it. Yeah, and still be like...
Unless Republicans think their seats are at stake because of it, which will take another year and another election to figure out, or someone gets, I don't know, cojones, they're not. I don't know.
It's just fucking dumb. Like, what... Why? Like, what point are consequences a thing? I know I say this, like, every week, but, like... Just consequences no longer exist anymore. It's super cool unless, like, you have sex. And then everybody's, like, freaking the fuck out.
Get
but,
out
like,
of our school.
Light treason. Everyone's like, it's fine. Like, I just can't.
All right. There is an NFL player who I had not heard of before this
week. The Flat Earther guy?
Flat Earther
guy. Yes.
Wait, this is a different one.
Yeah,
Flat Earth is involved.
Okay.
That's not what he said. His name is DJ Reader, R-E-A-D-E-R. He's for the Houston Texans, plays for them. I wasn't familiar with him before this week. I don't know how good he is.
Okay.
But his teammate, who I have heard of, J.J. Watt.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. Big NFL. I don't know if he's an all-star. Maybe an all-star.
Guy.
Said on Twitter, our lockers have been next to each other for over a year, and I just found out DJ Reader doesn't believe in dinosaurs.
Oh,
says
yeah!
fossils are fake. Says fossils are fake. And to which Reader responds, don't knock my theories.
Well, I mean, respect him. You
By the
know,
way,
JJ
and people
Watt?
Pushed back on this, like, dude, you can't be for real. He responds back, dead serious. LOL.
Guys need to stop ending texts and tweets with LOL because it just loses meaning.
Oh, I man.
So,
now, a couple interesting.
Dinosaurs.
Done. They're just lies. They're, yeah, they never existed.
I guess that's, and I brought this up when we talked about flat Earth. Like, who benefits from this, right? Like, you have to, when there is a big, massive conspiracy, who's benefiting from this? Like, even the thing of, like,
even Ken Ham believes in dinosaurs.
Right, with saddles.
With saddles and that we rode. Yeah. Reader attended Clemson, by the way, and Clemson is notorious for having a coach who pushes religion on his players.
Cool,
like, they
cool.
get baptized
Jim,
on
yeah.
the field, things like this.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
They got baptized on the field?
I think so. Yep.
I just imagine them pouring, like, the Gatorade like they
no,
do at the
No, it's baptismal
end of,
pool.
At the
like,
end of, you know, when they win the Super Bowl, they dump the Gatorade.
It's, that's how you get with Jesus now at Clemson. So it's like, okay, I mean, that fits with what I know about his college.
Sure.
That fits with him. That also fits with everything I know about NFL stars getting their head bashed in every way
yeah.
too many times.
Yep.
But again, this comes after Kyrie Irving in the NBA said the world is flat.
Uh-huh.
And he still hasn't backed down from that, really.
I mean, he
doesn't even have an excuse.
Show him proof.
I'm working
I
on
dare
it.
You. I dare you. Show him
the
proof.
Funniest thing is, remember Arian Foster? He was the atheist NFL player. There was one
okay.
in the NFL, openly atheist. He retired last year. He had injuries toward the end of this, his career.
What, a football
and stuff.
Player had injuries? I can't.
I know. But he was playing on the same team. I don't know if they're on Houston's team. I don't know if their paths crossed at all, but man, to know what those conversations were like in the
yeah.
locker room if they ever met would be interesting.
Yay, yay. Okay. So baptizing the field, super
baptizing
chill.
Baptizing the field.
I can't. That's so weird.
Yeah. Huh. Remember activist mommy, the teen Vogue woman?
The one who hated anal sex or something?
Yup. Or something. So there's a. Another YouTuber, podcaster, I think, Godless Engineer,
okay,
who does a lot of good work. He tipped me off to this that Elizabeth Johnston, the activist mommy who does all this stuff, she's been around forever.
Okay.
Like, the Teen Vogue stuff went viral recently, but she's been an activist for, like, decades.
Oh.
And with her husband, too. And basically, he found her website. I don't know if it was a secret or anything, but her old website is still archived online.
Okay.
I don't think it's accessible if you just type in the URL, but you can go to like archive, Internet sure. Archive, stuff like that and find it. And it turns out one of the articles of many disturbing articles that was on their site was basically how to discipline your kids.
Oh no.
And remember, this is a lady who has 10 kids at
oh,
the time.
Yeah.
At the time this website was up, I think it's 2004. She had 4 kids. So,
shit.
Still a lot of kids. And
some would argue, too many kids.
Many, yeah. And she was riffing on a famous book in the evangelical world called To Train Up a Child. It's written by Michael and Debbie Pearl. It's infamous, rather, because the Pearls basically say if you want to discipline your child, you should literally get a rod. And here's how you should beat them so it doesn't hurt them. We don't want to hurt them. But seriously, whip your kids with
Wait,
this rod.
What do you mean you don't want to hurt them? You know what's the easiest way not to hurt a kid is to not
don't
hit it with
do
a
that.
Rod?
Yeah. So it's
In
a disturbing
experience.
Book. Like, people were mad that Amazon was stocking it at all. Amazon's like, we just published it. Don't blame us. Whatever.
Yeah.
Separate conversation. But a lot of people, especially maybe a generation ago, really, if you ask evangelicals about Michael Debbie Pearl, they know about Michael and Debbie Pearl.
Okay.
So, Elizabeth Johnston, Tia activist mommy, she had her own advice that was about how to train your children. Uh-oh. And by the way, the reference, the training up child, is basically, you know, if you train your kid well at a young age, they're going to be good kids later on. Uh-huh. So you like that discipline early on, really, really important. Advice one that Johnston gave. Don't let anyone find out you're beating your children. Sorry, I'm paraphrasing this one, but here's what she actually said.
Oh, God.
Almost all spankings will cause a brief red mark on the skin, especially on fair-skinned children. Be sensitive to this. And, this is creepier, don't let your child out in public in shorts if there are red marks on the child's leg.
So they know what they're doing.
Yeah,
is
they
wrong.
Know it's wrong, but like, don't let anyone find out. By the way, I should say, I don't know if she wrote this, but it's on her site.
I'm so tacitly.
And her and her husband were clearly supporting all these articles that were on their site. So advice two, beat your children at home, says her. Don't spank publicly if at all possible. Like, don't presume that nobody's looking.
Yeah,
there are video cameras.
That's where the cops are.
Yeah, if people find out, they're going to be mad. Yeah, they're going to be mad because you're hitting your kids. Jeez. Stop it. Number three, you got to use the right tools, obviously. Sure. So she says, or whoever on her website says, a paddle or switch can do this much better than a hand.
A switch?
Yeah.
Are we living in 1930s rural South Carolina?
She is. If the child's wearing a diaper...
Be
especially careful not to swing your hand at the child's padded buttocks. Because of the padding, parents are inclined to swing harder, and they can dislocate the child's hip or hurt his back with a heavy swing on the diaper. It's much safer to use a wooden spoon on the open thigh than to risk injury by spanking a padded bottom with your palms. Unquote. Your jaw is just wide open.
Oh my God! There's so much to break down there.
How to hit your kid who's still wearing a diaper.
So when we started that journey of a sentence, I thought it was going to be you don't want to hit the pad in this because it's not going to hurt and it's not going to be effective. But what she's saying is you're going to take such a swing that you're going to like break your child in half. So like ease up.
Pretty much. Rule four.
Oh, God.
Don't let anyone find out you're beating your child. Again.
That's number one.
She quotes again, insist that your children cry quietly.
Oh, my God. That's straight up torture.
Strong, loud, uncontrolled crying is a manifestation of rebellion and should not be tolerated. Excessive screaming might also prompt a concerned neighbor to call the IRS on HRS, sorry. It was basically DCFS is what she was getting at, whatever version of it.
No, they call the IRS because there is something jacked up with your taxes if
your neighbors might call DCFS on you if they hear your kids screaming like that. How hard are you hitting these kids that they're screaming and crying?
Okay, so the thing
I don't hit my kid. She cries loudly sometimes, like, but my God.
The thing that I find really fucked up is that crying loudly is an act of defiance.
As if kids have
the
ability to just stop.
And also, like, that sounds like some grade A, like, cult brainwashing activity, doesn't it? Of, like
train up a child.
Isn't that how torture works? Like, you...
We're
going to
hit you, don't...
And if you make too much noise, we're going to do it again or something. Like, I think that's straight up torture techniques.
Not surprised. Thanks, Jesus. Cool. Step five, always get a lawyer for when you've gone too far, says me. Here's what she said.
I forget that you're doing it in your own words first.
The DCFS thing, they have zero tolerance to spanking. If they learn that you hit your children, hits in quotation marks, they will not hesitate to take your children and then you will be at the mercy of a liberal court.
Oh, those liberals. Yeah. Oh, those liberals protecting kids. I hate them so much.
Yes. If a social worker comes to your door, she says, just tell her she can ask her questions in the presence of your attorney at a later date. Okay, if you're a decent parent, you probably don't need an attorney for when people are asking you questions about your kids.
So here's my question. Because I've seen online, like, I've seen people who are, like, super defensive of spanking.
Yeah.
And that's a position that I find really odd. Because, and
This is a controversial one in among atheists.
Oh, is
too.
It?
Yeah. When we posted about it, because some of them are like, my daddy spanked me. I was fine.
Exactly what I was about to say is, oh, I went through this. You can too, which I think is a garbage statement in general. And I think any
time you're an adult who thinks spanking is okay, there is something wrong.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
We don't want to raise a kid like that.
No, you're 100% right. But like, also, what a weird thing to like, be mad. Like, I have the right to hit my child. Like, fuck off with your, like, I don't understand, like, why, not only, okay, I get it, like, if you grew up being spanked and, like, I got spanked as a kid, mm-hmm. I think. No, I definitely did. But I would never, but I have heard and read and, you know, done research and, like, oh, hey, maybe hitting a kid isn't the best solution. Because you're hitting your kid, and like, that's probably because we tell adults don't solve your problems with violence, and I just find it like a really perplexing hill to die on. Of like, no, fuck you. I get to hit my kid because it's my property or something.
It's not the same thing, but it's the same type of logic we get when we talk about genital mutilation or circumcision too. Which is to say, I get to do whatever I want to my kid. It's my kid. You can't tell me what to do, including hurting it. It's not old enough to make its own decisions or think about this stuff, so I can go this far.
Well, and
it's like, where do you draw the line
and
there?
Even that gets into territory of, I don't vaccinate my kids or I don't bring them to the doctor. I mean, if your kid dies under your watch from something preventable, like, no, we're going to super hold you accountable for that.
And if you're giving rules on how to hit a kid who's in diapers, like, they don't know stuff. They're going to watch you to learn stuff.
Yeah. And, they'll like, imitate. Kids don't have that, not that I'm a child expert, but, like, kids don't have the kind of self-discipline or, like, ability to see, like, foresight is the word I'm looking for. Like, they just can't control themselves. They're little terrors running around. Like, they don't know what they're doing. They're like Tasmanian devils, probably. Right. I don't know. I've met your kid, like, twice. She seemed nice.
She's a Tasmanian devil at times. It's all good.
But, like, to think that hitting them is the way to get through just seems gross.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. There's no defense of it. And she didn't respond to my emails where I'm just like, do you still stand by this stuff?
Yeah.
Is it wrong? Just tell me that. Because I get that you wrote this, 14, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't believe it.
Yeah.
So tell me. And she didn't respond. Though she did apparently respond to someone who sent her a link to it. Basically saying, these are just like, whatever, liberals or, you know, haters who are just out to get me.
No,
didn't actually
not.
Respond to the content.
That's just, I mean, we do that time after time of like presenting somebody's words to them and somehow we've spun it or we were out to get them. Like, yeah, no.
I'm quoting you directly here. I'm not
or
spinning
it's like
anything.
The thing when NPR was retweeting the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. Declaration
of
Independence.
One of them.
What, like one line at a time. And people were like freaking the fuck out. Like, no, these are just the words that we have. Like, if you're reading, if you think me giving your shit back to you is me like coming for you, then maybe like reconsider your stances.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's weird.
Okay. So a while back, we talked to a woman named Britt Marie Hermes, who is a naturopathic doctor.
Cool.
She was someone who went to a naturopathic school. This is one of those schools where they teach you complementary and alternative medicine. And, you know, we'll teach you how to cure for the whole patient.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all BS, the stuff they teach. It's fake medicine all the time. And yet, she graduated. She worked in a clinic. She wrote prescriptions.
So she's an MD?
No.
Oh.
She's an ND, naturopathic doctor.
Ooh, those
sneaky motherfuckers.
Because, again,
not a real doctor. I mean, she...
Is that what ND stands for? Not doctor?
Yeah, it should. She billed insurance companies. She went by doctor because she graduated from this school that claimed to be this place of medical insight. And then, like, a few years into it, she realized, wait a minute, this is all bullshit. And she left, and she's actually been spending... she came across my radar like a year ago.
Uh-huh.
She so maybe a little before that, she started basically writing on her website, Naturopathic Diaries, all about, here's what's wrong with all of this stuff that I used to think was all legit. It's not. Here's why. And she's coming from it from a place of expertise, like, because she's gone through the training.
Right.
So she could tell you, here's what they taught us about it. Here's what your ND or whoever is telling you about this stuff. But here's the science behind it. And here's why it doesn't work. So she's awesome. Good for her. She went to a school called Bastyr University, B-A-S-T-Y-R. It sounds like a mythical creature to me or something.
Yes, it does.
But it's in Washington State. That's where the school's located. That's where she got her degree. Well, this past week, actually, I should say, like, sometime in the past several weeks, they sent her basically a cease and desist letter saying, you need to stop trashing us on your website. Because a lot of what she said is, Bastyr is one of the most famous naturopathic schools in the country, if not the world. And so that's where I got my training. So I'm telling you why that school did not prepare me for real medicine is a lot of what she does. And in the process of saying naturopathy is...
Naturopathy?
I don't know.
Part
of saying it's illegitimate is to say the school that taught me got this stuff wrong.
Sure.
They didn't like that. And so they actually had a list of things she had said that they said, look, take it down from your site or we may have sue you for defamation. She's since gotten an attorney of her own. They're working on a response to the letter. It hasn't been released yet. But what did Bastyr University not like about what she said? I'll give you a couple examples.
Yeah.
Hermes said on her website, quote, Bastyr has incredibly low entrance requirements for naturopathy students. Which, by the way, without looking at anything else here, if you're not in real medical school, yeah, the requirements to become a doctor, in big quotes, like, they're going to be lower than medical school. Because if you were good enough to get in medical school, then
you'd be going,
to medical school. So, for example, this is what the school said, and they prefaced it with fact, in all caps, underlined, bold-faced, fact. In addition to, I'm going to paraphrase here, in addition to needing a bachelor's degree from an accredited school, to get into Bastyr's naturopathic doctor program, you need to complete college-level algebra, chemistry, bio, physics, and psychology. You don't get credit if you earned lower than a C-. And the average GPA for admitted students is like 3.3 or 3.4. I'm not trashing any of that. Like, good for you if you got a GPA that is in the threes. Good for you if you got a C or higher on basic college level.
Right.
You know, run the gamut of STEM classes. Good. None of that. I'm telling you, as someone who attended med school for a year before leaving it, it would not get you in medical school because you need way higher requirements.
Basic requirements.
Yeah, it's like
saying, go over them again. You said algebra,
chemistry, biology, physics, psychology. I taught at a high school for years. Some of the smarter students at the high school, they finished those courses, all of them, before they graduate.
So they Doogie Howsered.
There you go. And it's not like, it's to the point where it's not even really impressive. It's like, oh, if you're a good student, yeah, you're going to take these classes. That puts you in competition with a lot of other good students. And the question is, where, what are you going to do with that stuff? I'm not trashing the requirements, but they're not impressive in the medical world.
Yeah, getting a C in biology does not a doctor make. Sorry. Like, exactly. That doesn't feel like...
And if you wanted to go to medical school, you would have to take the MCATs, the admissions test. You would have to do decently well on the MCATs. You would have to do outside of school stuff. Like, there's more to it than just getting good grades. But a 3.4 GPA would not get you into most medical schools.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not the same thing. So when she says they have incredibly low entrance requirements, it's not in the grand scheme of the world. Like, hey, if you can do all this stuff, good for you. But in the world of you want to be a doctor, these are low admissions requirements. So I don't know where she got it wrong there. She didn't. Another thing.
I mean, it's subjective, right?
It is
subjective. So you can't say.
But here's what's not subjective. You can look up any medical school and see what their average requirements are. It's way higher than this.
Well, Yeah,
you know
no
what
shit,
I mean?
Because it's medical school, right. Not garbage school.
Right. And that's her point. She also said on her site that Bastyr promotes anti-vaccination treatments.
Ooh.
Because that is a lot of alternative medicine. It's like doctors, real doctors, will tell you, look, your kid's born. They need these vaccinations on this schedule.
Uh-huh.
So whenever I take my kid to the doctor, we take our kid to the doctor. It's like, oh, it's the 6-month checkup, 9-month, 12-month.
Mm-hmm.
These are the 3 shots you need today.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Kid's going to get the shot. Vaccination. Done. There are people, and this is like the Jenny McCarthy defense, because she doesn't like it when people call her anti-vaxxer. She says, I'm not against vaccinations, but, and this is where she gets wrong.
Yeah.
She says you can delay them because it's not good if a kid's getting 4 or 5 shots at once.
How do you fucking know, Jenny McCarthy? Like, that's what fucking pisses.
We spoke with Paul Offit a while ago. He was a doctor
who said
your kid encounters more bacteria diseases coming out of the birth canal than they do getting any of these shots.
I remember that interview. That shook me up because he said something about, like, all doctors get one death or something like that. or parents or something. Like, you get one dead kid free. Like, you kill one kid and it's an accident or it's a coincidence or whatever. You kill two and then there's consequences or something like that. And I'm being shaken up by that.
He knows his stuff. But he said there is no reason to delay the schedule of when you get your shots for the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And delaying it means your kid isn't ready at that young age when they're exposed to the most stuff.
Right.
So the faster you get these in that recommended way is better. That's what the Jenny McCarthy defense is. You could do it on a delayed schedule. There are some people who say, I don't want my kid vaccinated at all. What Bastyr says, and this is their response, fact, Bastyr teaches its naturopathic medicine students the vaccination schedules published by the CDC government and supports the important preventive medicine that vaccines offer. Well, that sounds rational. That sounds like, look, we're doing what the government says.
Yeah.
We do tell people to get their vaccinations there. But they also, here's what they didn't include in their letter to her. Their bookstore sells a book that promotes alternatives to vaccines. Their teaching page. They have a clinic.
Like what?
If you take certain, I don't know, herbs or spices. I don't know what they do. But, like, you don't need vaccines because this thing will immunize you.
It's such fucking bullshit.
It's
so dumb.
They have a teaching clinic at Bastyr, and they had an archived page that it's not there anymore, but it used to be, that said getting your yearly flu shot can, quote, weaken the immune system's natural defense mechanisms.
No, that's not how it works.
It's literally
that's
not
the
how
the actual opposite of that.
Yeah. So they might say, look, we teach kids the right stuff, but we also, this is what they didn't say, but they also teach them the wrong stuff. And they act like it's okay. That's like saying, this is what the Ken Ham argument is. When they all say we want people to teach creationism in public schools,
mm-hmm.
Here's what they'll say. We don't want you not to teach evolution. We just want you to
teach the controversy,
teach the alternative perspectives. And the answer is there is no alternative perspective.
Right.
It's just the one you like, but that it has no basis in science. It's the same thing here.
Yeah.
There's the vaccination schedule endorsed by doctors, pediatricians everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then the alternative stuff that is dangerous and has no scientific
basis. And what
basis.
I don't understand, so whenever you hear people who are anti-vaxxers, it a lot of time comes back to like big pharma, pharmaceutical companies, yada, yada, yada.
The Jill Stein argument.
God, don't even with her. But, and whatever, like there's discussions we can have about the pharmaceutical industry that they're not in general a super wholesome group of humans. But I think that argument falls apart when it comes down to physicians. To people who, and I know I mentioned it, but I've been listening to Sawbones, and one of the co-hosts is a physician. She's a family doctor. And she says a lot, like, this idea that, like, I, as a doc, like, I care about my patients. The fact that I would purposely do something that I think is harmful for a child or withhold something, like, when they say, oh, there's a cure for cancer, they just don't want you to know. Like, if she knew how to cure cancer, like, She's a fucking she's a doctor. She cares about people. Like, your doctor's job is to make you better. And this idea that, like,
messing with you just for the hell of it.
Yeah, and that, like, not just individual doctors are, like, malicious, but, like, as a monolith, like, as a group, all doctors went to medical school as a big, like, a really slow payoff of, like, okay, I'm going to go through college, I'm going to go through medical school, I'm going to go through my internship, I'm going to go through my residency, I'm going to do all this shit, and then I'm going to line my pockets with that good pharma money. Like, no, if you have that kind of nefarious attitude, you're going to do a lot less fucking work to get there and just, like, moonwalk over to Wall Street and, like, get a power tie and get it that way. Like, it's so absurd on its face.
So these naturopathic schools, I mean, they're not substitute medical schools. They are, like, low grade. It's like comparing all those bad Christian movies to actual movies.
Oh,
it's just low
shots
level.
Shots fired, Christian movies.
So I don't know. Britt Hermes has not responded yet. She says she will. I hope that becomes public soon, but it's disturbing that the school's coming after her because they don't like what she says about them. But I have not seen in their letter, they listed more reasons. Mm-hmm. I have not seen anything where it seems indefensible on her end.
Yeah, I mean, if it sounds like, again, it sounds like she's just saying what they did and they're like, that's defamation. Like, that's not how defamation works.
There's no, she had to knowingly lie about them. That's defamation. You would have to say, look, I'm not a lawyer. You would have to say, I purposely tried to, you know, trash you.
Right.
And there's,
I mean, she is, that's the thing. Like, she is trying to trash them, but she's saying all true statements.
Yeah. Like, if she got something wrong, she'll have to address that.
Yeah.
One thing I would also add is and this is me speculating here, for the school to say you are making us look bad and it's unfair, they're assuming that there are people who are thinking about going to Bastyr who look up the school online and do their research and, oh, they stumbled upon this website that makes them look bad. And my first thought was, like, if these people are good enough to do research before they come to your school, they wouldn't be coming to your school. Like, you're not talking about people who know how to do research because they're falling for this naturopathic stuff. So, I don't know. I don't even buy that a lot of kids are... I don't know how they know they're getting hurt by her website. Like, are people saying, oh, I was going to go there, but then I read her website, and now I decided not to.
I mean, maybe. Maybe if, like, maybe their impression of what, like, a naturopathic deal is... Is that the official term? Deal?
Sure.
Maybe they think it's a legitimate thing... And then they read her thing like, oh, no, this is one of the bad naturopathy. You know what I mean? Like, maybe.
Maybe.
But still, it sounds to me, based off what you just, like, read to me, that she's just saying, hey, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. This is what they teach.
It's the same thing. We haven't talked about her much, but Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop, which has a lot of BS on it and pseudoscience stuff. There's one doctor who's gotten a lot of attention. Her name is Jen Gunter, who's basically every time Gwyneth Paltrow has a new thing, she's an OB-GYN. She's the first one to chime in and say, here's why this is bullshit.
Oh, funny.
And she's fantastic at it. But again, she's coming from a place where she knows what she's talking about. She deals with the stuff all the time. Again, she's an OBGYN. She knows if sticking jade eggs in your vagina is a bad idea, which is what she says. So, I mean, it's when you have someone who knows this stuff firsthand, it's worth taking them seriously. So anyway, I'll be curious to see what happens to that lawsuit.
Yeah.
Let me talk about a totally different lawsuit, but this one is also interesting because it involves school boards.
Uh-huh.
Give me 1 second here. There is a story from the American Humans Association, their legal team. And there's so much to this story, but there is a school district in Texas, Birdville Independent School District, has a long history of promoting Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a public school district?
Public school district. Uh-huh. They punished a kid for tearing pages from a Bible among friends when he was trying to make a point. Then he held that Bible and carried it around with the ripped pages, and then he got punished for that.
What a teeny tiny rebel.
Seriously. They sponsored religious baccalaureate graduation ceremonies, which schools are not supposed to organize or have any involvement with.
Uh-huh.
If an outside group wants to do it for the graduates, that's fine. They hosted religious ceremonies, like assemblies,
mm-hmm.
With religion in them. There are religious symbols in classrooms. So they have a history of, you know, pushing religion onto students. But here's the crux of the issue. They have school board meetings where they have religious invocations, and students deliver them.
Okay.
And this is weird on a number of levels, because the Supreme Court a few years ago said, look, if you're city council and you have invocations, as long as the citizens are delivering them and it's open to everyone in a fair way, then it's legal.
Right.
That's what the Supreme Court says. Well, the school board here, they have students delivering the invocations, and they're almost all Christian invocations. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's a problem for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
So that's what the AHA focused on when they filed a lawsuit a while back, like I think more than a year ago. And they said, the AHA said, quote, by opening meetings with prayers, the Birdville School Board is sending the message that they favor Christianity over other religions, mm-hmm. and that non-Christian community members are unwelcome.
Cool.
And by the way, they also pointed out, it's not just that this is the same thing as a city council meeting, because mm-hmm. the city council meetings, kids don't have to be there, and yeah. that's a big deal. At school board meetings, students are often required to attend, and the AHA
wait,
said...
they're required in some cases. School board meeting? Okay.
For school credit, in some cases.
Oh.
To receive a recognition for an academic or extracurricular achievement, uh-huh. to perform for the board, or to resolve some discipline issue. So, like, there are times when some students would have to be at the board meeting
uh-huh.
for some reason.
Sure.
So, like, there is a coercive, an audience that could be coerced here, and mm-hmm. it's young. So, I mean, that's another element to all this. So, last August, a district judge, which is the first line of defense here, said, nope, I'm going with the school board. He said the prayers were legal. And if you're wondering, like, why would he possibly say that?
Is he Christian?
I don't know. Oh. But the argument was basically, I'll get to the argument in a second, but the AHA appealed. They went to a court of appeals, mm-hmm. the bigger one. They had three judge panel. They made their case. And the appeals court said the same thing. The prayers were legal. And here's what the appeals court said. Basically, the argument was that the meetings were at a separate administrative building, so it didn't take place at a school, even
okay,
though it was a school board.
That feels a little slimy.
Yeah.
But...
they said there were no students on the school board.
Oh, there's not? I can't believe it.
I know. So this couldn't be coercive because those prayers were directed at the board members.
Oh, shut up. Stop
and
it.
And so they were all adults, so what's the big
it.
Deal?
Mm-hmm. That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, and so the HA was furious about this,
yeah.
and they were like, you know, they've never made it. The Supreme Court has repeatedly said that school districts may not subject their students to prayers, and they've never made an exception for school board meetings.
Uh-huh.
That was from Monica Miller, who we've talked about before, awesome attorney for them. Roy Speckhard, the executive director, said, no, religious minorities in Texas and elsewhere, like, they need this to be righted.
Yeah.
So what do you do if you're the HA? You can ask the entire appeals court, just like they got the random three judges
oh,
who
sure,
said,
sure,
no,
sure.
let's get the entire appeals court to look at it.
Uh-huh.
The entire appeals court said, we're not re-looking at this case.
Uh-huh.
They just didn't want to hear it. So there's one route left. Go to the Supreme Court. So that's what they have done.
Okay.
The AHA this week, they filed, it's called a writ. I don't know. Is it called a writ? It's called a writ. They filed a writ with the Supreme Court saying, hey, Supreme Court, look at our case and overturn this decision.
Uh-huh.
And again, this is, it's a long shot for a lot of reasons. Supreme Court only takes up like a very small fraction mm-hmm. of the cases they're asked to take up. You're asking for the court to swing 5-4 against school prayer
mm-hmm.
and on a conservative court where Justice Kennedy, the swing vote, he was the one who said legislative prayers were okay. So you're asking him to change his mind on the issue of school board prayer.
Uh-huh.
That would have to go right. And you're assuming there are no Supreme Court changes by the time this gets there and all that.
Forbid.
So it's I don't know that this is going to work. But if it doesn't work and the decision stands as is, it means you will probably start to see more school boards have more prayers.
Oh, God. Why? 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 I just don't get it. You can pray literally every second of every day of your entire life. Or you can stand anywhere you want and pray loudly. But, like, when you're doing some government shit, just like stop for a minute. It's so performative, isn't it? It's
all for show.
It is. And like, what's your fucking point? Like, we get it. You're the majority. Good job. You bred a lot of humans.
And what happens if a young Satanist wants to speak? What happens if student speakers are censored? I mean, there's so many things that could go wrong if this is allowed. And
it's so frustrating that like this is the discussion we keep having, because there's so many more A, interesting, and B, important things we should be working on. But people can't just like let this shit go. And like, and I get there's the argument from both sides of like, atheists, just forget it, just let them pray, which like is a dangerous precedent. And it's mm-hmm. then all of a sudden you're doing, oh, we've done it for 50 years. And so why should we change now that like, so I get that. And obviously I'm falling down on the side of the atheist, shockingly, but it just seems like a dumb thing to like, this is the thing that's the most important to us. Yeah. This is it. This is, I found it. That's so that, and then, excuse me, I almost choked myself. I'm so annoyed. And that's when Christians scream persecution. That's what they're talking about. They're acting like they're these like persecuted people who live such a hard life when like, hey, you've had 45 out of 45 presidents. Yeah, congratulations on that. And we're coming after you because you're breaking rules. That's how rules work.
You're pushing your religion. If this were any other religion, this conversation would have ended a long time ago.
You would lose your goddamn mind.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Move on. I hate this.
There is an essay that was in the New York Times this week, and it was written by a conservative, Rod Dreher, who is famously like a critic of kind of modern day evangelical Christianity, which sounds great. But he's one of them. Like, uh-huh. he wants them to succeed, so his criticism means a little more, right? Uh-huh. And so his argument, I mean, he asked in his piece, his issue was that he's disturbed by all the evangelical Christians who are basically aligned with Donald Trump.
Okay.
He's like, Donald Trump is not one of you. Like, no. Why are you... We're already struggling as a religion. Like, people are dropping like flies from our numbers. Why would you, like, put yourself in Donald Trump's camp and just hasten the entire thing? He even said at one point, is there anything Donald Trump can do to alienate evangelicals and the other conservative Christians who support him? Like, I don't know, unless he decided, maybe he one day tweets out, like, I think women should have bodily autonomy and decide what happens to their own bodies. If he accidentally said women should have rights, they might draw the line. Barring that, I don't know what they could do. So all of that sounds great. It's good to hear that criticism, especially from someone inside that bubble. Yeah. Here's where I think Dreher totally misses the mark, though. Because he's angry with Trump and he's angry with Christians, but like, he's mad at the Christians because this president isn't good for Christianity. Not because what Trump is doing is wrong.
Wait, in what way is he not good for Christianity?
Because he's making them look bad, more or less. All the things he does is bad for bad for Christianity in the long run. So some of the things he said, you know, the waning of Christianity will not only be a catastrophe for the church, but also a calamity for civil society. He's basically saying we need the church. We need the church to instill morals and goodness throughout the world. And Donald Trump is making that harder for us to do that because people don't take us seriously.
Right.
I don't really understand why he thinks there would be a calamity to civil society if Christianity suffered. Like, I'm pretty sure we're doing worse because they're in power.
Yeah.
But all right. He also said, you know, too many of us are doubling down on the failed strategies that have not worked. And what he's saying is, look, we decided to do the culture war games. Mm-hmm. Look how that backfired on us.
Right.
Now we're aligning with Donald Trump. Like, you think more people are going to become Christian because they see this partnership? That's not going to work.
Well, especially when he's got 33% approval rating right now.
Yeah.
And, like, you already have, like, 70% of the population. So, like, maybe you shouldn't target the 33%
people. Why are you alienating even more people? And again, here's what I don't get. Like, we've seen what happens when Christians have power. This is one of those times,
until
now, yeah. What would we be missing if more people left Christianity as a result of watching what they're Christian leaders are doing to Trump.
We'd have
less
to talk
homophobia.
About prayer. Yeah, we'd have to talk about prayers in public a lot less.
I know, more people who understand science, better movies. I don't know, like.
Yeah,
I don't know what we would be missing, and I don't know what. I'm bothered by the fact that he seems less concerned about Donald Trump in what he's doing, and he's only upset about Donald Trump in that he's hurting Christians.
Well, I mean,
because he's making them look bad.
He's in power. The Christians are in power, and Donald Trump is threatening that power, and he doesn't like it. And that's what it comes down to, is he doesn't want to lose his spot on the ivory tower.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, Dreher is a conservative with a lot of policy views that are conservative as well, which is funny because, like, Republican Senator Jeff Flake made a lot of news this week because he wrote a piece for Politico where he's like, basically trashing Donald Trump, and he's trashing his party for going along with Donald Trump.
Rightly so.
Rightly so. And that essay makes you think, like, and this is a guy who's vulnerable in 2018, so he's trying to, like, build himself up now. Mm-hmm. But it's like, dude, you voted for all those horrible health care bills. You voted with Donald Trump.
Yeah, what has Donald Trump done that you're like, oh, no, that's too far?
Yeah, because you're voting with him just about every time. Like, if you, he sits on the Justice Department, Justice Committee, I think, like the Judiciary Committee, which means he has the power to actually do some stuff to look into what Donald Trump has been up to.
Yeah.
Hasn't done that.
Yeah, and you're right. And when it comes down to it, like, Is the thing that you dislike about Donald Trump is, like, he's kind of an asshole? Because, like...
Yeah, that's the least of our issues.
That's exactly right. Like, he's a nightmare human on every front, but you're worried, like, he's making y'all look bad? Like, that's your gripe with him? What, because he's...
You're in the party. Like, Flake is enabling everything Donald Trump is doing because he's going along with it. And it's the same thing I want to say to Dreher. Like, if you're bothered by all these evangelicals
Do something about it.
Yeah, do something more than just saying, like, I'm upset about this. Tell them, like,
yeah, me too, but
leaving.
I'm not in Congress.
Explain why evangelical positions on these conservative things are wrong. You would think it would be easy to make a Christian case for better immigration policies, not the ones that they're proposing right now. Or more, if you can make an argument that gay marriage equality should be fine within the church because we like marriage and we like monogamy. So look, you have gay people who want to get married. You could make that argument if you wanted to,
and you
say
you're worried about little kids. Okay, well, you're not doing anything to A, help mothers who need help, B, find homes for kids with gay parents will give these kids a loving home, but like, oh no, two moms. Ah!
Right. And so Dreher, he's in there. He's in those circles, but I don't know. He's not criticizing them the way they should be criticized. And like, so it's not as strong as I think he thinks it is in his head.
Well, and I think he thinks it's sort of an act of defiance to be standing against Trump, and he thinks that's enough. Whereas in reality,
That's a default at this point for so many people. You got to do better than that.
Right.
All right. I'm going to close this. There's one more story I wanted to bring up because I can't let a podcast go by anymore without bringing up the Creation Museum.
Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter.
Ark Encounter. Sorry. Same thing.
Damn it. I thought we were going to get through one.
There's a man named C. His first name is just C.
C-E-E or C period?
C period. Britt Beamer. C. Britt Beamer.
Oh, okay. Like,
he has to be rich with that name.
Yeah.
He's a conservative activist.
His name is Beamer, and he dropped his first name. That's rich people things.
I know, right? He's a friend of Ken Ham's. He is also a guy who runs a research group. They do a lot of market research, things like that. Okay. That's fine. So when Ken Ham was opening up Ark Encounter, he went to his friend, C. Britt Beamer, whatever, and said,
we're gonna call him CBB.
I need you to figure out how many people are going to visit. Estimates so that I can plan this out and stuff and tell the media. And Beamer basically came back to Ken Ham after doing his research and said, I estimate first year attendance will be anywhere from 1.4 million people to 2.2 million people. This was in 2014, I think. I mean, long before it opened.
It opened in 2016 because we're doing the 1 year anniversary.
Right.
Okay.
So before it opened, long before it opened, he was estimating 1.4 to 2.2 million.
Okay.
We now know, or pretty sure, that after the first year, it's around a million.
Okay.
So, and by the way, when Beamer gave Ken Ham those estimates, he went to the media with them and said things like, we expect over 1.6 million guests our first year. We expected almost 2 million people coming that first year.
And
he used those numbers.
That's a really, and I don't know much about market research, but what did you say? he said originally between 1.4
and 2.2, based on a lot of factors.
That's a huge range.
It is a huge range. I think he was like, well, there's nothing to compare this to because there's no other $100 million attraction specifically about Christianity. So, like, you can't compare it to
Creation
Disney World.
Museum.
But it's not that expensive. So you can't compare it to Disney World because that's secular.
Uh-huh.
You can't compare it to like another Christian thing like this to see their track record because it doesn't exist at this scale.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I think the range is higher than you might expect. But whatever. It's still way too high
because
even the low ball estimate is still like 50% higher than it should have been.
Yeesh.
So he wrote an article, Beamer did, for Kentucky.com
week. Wait, was the headline I done fucked up?
Close.
Oh, really?
Basically, he wanted to give his explanation why he overestimated the Ark attendance, which is a good idea. Like, we should know
this. I didn't account for atheists saying atheisty things.
We've heard that excuse from Ken Ham, right? We blame atheists. They trashed us too much. So he wrote this letter to the editor, but it was a long one.
Uh-huh.
So think about all the things he could have blamed. The ticket prices are $40 each for adults. Like, you want to take your family of four, it's like $160, $70 plus tax, plus parking, whatever. You could blame high ticket prices.
Uh-huh.
You could say the exhibits suck because it's sound effects and nothing. Like, a Noah's Ark doesn't have good exhibits.
Right. It's got animals.
You could blame atheists again.
Two of most of them.
Here's what he said.
Oh, God. God.
I was disappointed the Ark hit only 1 million guests this past year because we should have had more.
Cool.
We opened on July 7th, 2016. By opening this late, we missed those who planned their summer vacations in March, April, and May. That was his argument. We opened in July. We missed out on all those summer vacationing people and those who planned their summer vacations. Yeah.
Hemant.
Go for it.
Just a really quick question.
Please.
In the last 12 months, since July 2016, has there been another March, April, May? I'm just
There have been in 2017.
I wanted to check because my Gregorian calendar sometimes lets me down.
Mm-hmm.
So
those don't count, clearly.
What is he talking about?
I don't know. The other thing is you open in July, but he said people plan their summer vacations in March, April, and May. Even if the attraction isn't open yet, people knew it was gonna open. They could have planned in May to go there in July.
Yeah,
they
didn't. Go there in July 2017.
That too.
This is dumb. He's dumb.
He's the marketing expert here.
Then they should have delayed it 3 months.
Here's the best part.
Months.
If you look back at this, so why did they pick July, I guess is the question.
Yeah.
And why didn't Beamer say, hey, if we open in late July, we're going to miss all this summer traffic on
hey,
year
Beamer,
one.
Hey, Beamer, that's your literal job.
Right. They chose the date of July 7th, and I found it on Ken Ham's
7/7,
site. There was a religious reason they chose July 7th.
Oh, really?
Here's Ken Ham. We wanted to choose an opening day that had significance. And so, like we do in every aspect of the Answers in Genesis ministry, we started with God's word. Genesis chapter 7, verse 7, says, so Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Using the verse reference, 7/7, as a date, July 7th, gives us the most appropriate time to allow the public to enter the ark as well. So opening on that date was a
fucking
way to honor God.
Fucking whatever. That's fine.
So
this is fucking dumb.
If Beamer really wanted to open earlier, he's defying Genesis. And basically saying Ken Ham shouldn't have trusted the Bible for opening on July 7th.
Hemant, when you go on paternity leave, mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk about the Ark Encounter
at all. But there's so much good stuff.
I mean, I just...
You know what? As someone who has followed this story forever, you know what Ken Ham never said before Ark Encounter opened?
I done fucked up.
We're opening in July, and you know what that means, everyone? It means our attendance is going to be lower because we missed all that early school year. But again, there's another summer.
Yeah, that was a really dumb time to open. But also, I don't remember hearing, like, we're opening on this day because of this. Like, do you remember, was that publicized or was
that?
The
Genesis thing?
Yeah.
It was on his website before it opened. Like, we knew why it was going to open. He never said, yeah, we're opening this late. We'll sacrifice some attendance.
Right.
But it's following the Bible. He never said that.
Well, I mean,
this is
you put in
hindsight, rationalization.
Of like, oh, we didn't get the numbers. So we had this, like, ready-made list of excuses.
Yeah, look, no one's going to Ark Encounter because the people who've been to Ark Encounter are not thrilled with it.
Yeah.
Unless you're a diehard Christian who thinks this is the greatest thing ever and Disney World is too far away.
You know what?
And Harry Potter's of the devil, so you don't want to visit.
You know
that
what it makes me think
place.
Of is, if I don't know if you've ever seen interviews from after when the Phantom Menace, which is the
Star.
There you go.
Something.
Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So Phantom Menace was the first prequel to come out in, like, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And they would interview people coming, and it's a famously bad movie. And they would interview people coming out, and they're, like, so, like, just dead behind the eyes of, like, I hated that, but it's still a thing I love. So, like, how do I process this? That's kind of what, like, I imagine Ark Encounter people are like, of, like, I wanted to like it so bad, and I have to keep smiling because I'm a Christian, and that's what we do is smile through the pain.
Ark Encounter is the Phantom Menace of the creationist world.
So you heard it here first, folks.
Which is sad because you know they're going to do even more sequels.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, they can't how?
Or they're going to build on top of whatever they have.
But how
they're building a giant Tower of Babel. Like for next year, that's their
and
next.
And just have people speak different languages.
I don't really.
Like,
I don't know
like
what they're going to do with
heaven.
It.
Why do they want to hear different languages?
Yeah, I don't know, but it'll be interesting. We'll find out.
But how can they? No, how can they like financially justify that?
Because the more attractions they have, the more people who will want to visit in their heads. And notice that their exhibits are never. Let's take what we already have and teach people more stuff.
Right.
About Noah. Let's improve the exhibits we have or get new exhibits because there are none. Like, you know what real museums do? They're like, hey, you have an artwork
like
at your museum. Let's bring it here for an exhibit. So people have a reason to come back. They don't do that because there's nothing to learn there.
This is dumb. I still want to go there, though. Okay.
Summer trip. Apparently, no one's doing it before July.
So. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
That was
so,
stupid. Not this podcast. Just like everything Ken Hamsazer does.
I know you're talking about the podcast. It's all good.
You caught me.
Thank y'all for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at blueberry BlueBurie. My Etsy shop is Bitches Get Stitched Done. I actually have gotten two custom orders from
Look at you.
Listeners. One was, maybe you know this because you know what math is. Do you know what a unit circle is?
I spent many weeks on it with the students in trig.
I'm doing one. See, that's
what
it looks
man.
Like for a math nerd lady who is super psyched about it. And
that
is
neat.
So yeah, you can reach me there. What
and,
else?
And friendlyatheistpodcast.com at gmail.com. We'll get your emails.
Oh, yeah, email us.
Yes.
We haven't gotten a lot of emails lately. Or you've been
sheltering
me from them. Because you're like, she's going to break eventually.
No, send us emails.
Yeah.
We will talk to you maybe next week. We'll see.
I'll talk to you next week.
To Jessica. We'll see what happens.
I'll be here next week. Hemant might have a new human child. Okay.
Now
bye.
I know how to spank the child, too. Thanks, Elizabeth Johnston.
All right. Bye.
All right, bye.